or benevolent, and you're going to have to determine then how to respond to them. Now, once again, if the other individual has not initiated any force whatsoever against your person or property, but you do so against him, then obviously in that position you're the coercer. And again, I think a lot of the discussions and arguments that might otherwise take place over who's right or who's wrong in a particular situation will be irrelevant to our purposes this evening, because I'm not going to attempt to try to construct the kind of thing that you may have reference to in trying to determine the answers to such questions. So let's proceed, and as we go along further, if there is any difficulty with these definitions, they may clear up as I use them, and if not, we'll go over them some more in the discussion period. Now, in this first section, then, of discussing the possibilities of freedom under government, the first thing that must be recognized is government's essential nature. What is it that distinguishes a government from anything else? What is it that makes it so unique that is different from, say, General Motors, whom is also more powerful than you if they choose to use that power in whatever form and so forth? But what distinguishes General Motors from the United States government, for instance? And when somebody says, well, the Federal Reserve System is good because, after all, banks do need clearinghouses, and clearinghouses help to facilitate checks, and this is good for you, it makes it this and that and so forth and so on. What is it that is implied in the assumption that has been overlooked as to whether or not just because the Federal Reserve performs a good function, it ought to be done and so forth and should be a government agency? Well, of course, the essential ingredient in every governmental program is coercion. There is no other reason for a governmental program. There is no way that you could even construct an example by which you would say, we are now going to have a governmental program that has no coercion in it whatsoever. It would be impossible to conceive of such a thing. You can talk about all the propaganda programs that they initiate that are supposedly fully voluntary. That is, the President of the United States is saying, let's all have physical fitness. We're not appropriating $1 from Congress. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to make anybody be physically fit. The President is simply saying, I'm using my good offices to promote the idea of physical fitness. Well, why did they go to him? Why did they ask him to do it instead of somebody else? Well, one of the most important reasons, of course, is that his salary is already paid by the taxpayers. They don't have to pay him for his time. There are a lot of factors involved. He has the White House lawn upon which they will take the pictures of him doing push-ups or whatever it is, will, of course, be paid for by taxpayer money and so forth. There is no way you can conceive of a governmental program that doesn't involve coercion. And the more important ones, things like the Federal Reserve System, or selling wheat to Russia, or whatever it may be, all involve coercion, meaning that some individual, someplace, is going to have to be forced to do something that he would not otherwise have done on his own, meaning his desire to use his own life or property in his own way is going to have to be frustrated in some manner. Because if he is allowed to do what it is he intended to do, then this is not going to work out for purposes of our program. Therefore, the government will be called upon to coerce him. Banks will be coerced to join the system. Taxpayers will be coerced to pay the bills of the clearinghouse and the Federal Reserve System and so forth, on and on. Even government as a purely defensive agency is, of course, involved in coercion. First of all, it's involved in force in that it is attempting to frustrate the desires of so-called criminals and so forth. But secondly, it's involved in coercion simply because it will derive its funds for operation and so forth from individuals who have not consented to be a part of it. And this, of course, is why it is a tax program. Taxes are simply property taken without the consent of the owner. And the only reason that it is taxed is because they're afraid to leave it to the consent of the owner. If everyone was to voluntarily choose, it wouldn't work out as far as the initiators of the program are concerned. Now, all of this sets aside the question of whether or not it's good or bad. Because if you, of course, are ever discussing this with somebody and you say, well, you see now, in order to have the police force, they have to go tax people, take it without their consent, and so forth. Well, the reply you usually get is, well, it's good. You have to have a police force and so on. Well, that isn't what I was saying. Let's get back to what I was saying. All I was identifying was the fact that they're forcing their way in, coercing the individuals to support this program. But nobody would support it if they didn't have to, because they'd let everybody else pay for it. But that's still beside the point. What we're identifying here is that the government's only asset is coercion. The only reason you ever call upon any government at any time for any kind of a program is in order to make coercion a part of that program. And this, of course, is what distinguishes it from General Motors, which could, not is, but could be actually larger and more powerful than the government. Now, what is going to determine how that coercion will be used? Well, you can talk all you want to about voting, about checks and balances, about all of the fancy superstructure of a constitution and all the things in the world. It will still come back to an essential question of power.